speech. Twitter owner Elon Musk has set out his new policy for the platform tonight. So what does this all mean? Elon Musk has begun reinstating Twitter accounts that were previously subject to lifetime bans. Among the first affected accounts are those of the author Jordan Peterson, comedian Kathy Griffin, conservative parody outlet The Babylon Lee. This is after hundreds of the company's remaining employees resigned after Musk's ultimatum, which asked staff if they were prepared to commit to working long hours at high intensity or get out. Twitter temporarily locked staff out of the company's offices until Monday, and the hashtag RIPTwitter has been trending today. Well, let's speak to some people about this. Sarah Fryer is editor of Big Tech at Bloomberg. Hello, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for talking to us, Sarah. And Justin Pott Freer. Is that how do I pronounce your name, Sarah?
Fryer.
There we go. And Justin Pott is a freelance journalist for publications including Wired and The Wall Street Journal. Hello, Justin.
Hello, Stephen. Nice to be here.
Good. Nice to talk to you. Well, Sarah, there's never a dull moment at Twitter. What was the reaction after staff were locked out of their own offices?
Well, it was really just a result of staff responding to this email that Elon Musk sent earlier this week saying, you have to sign on to working long hours, incredibly long and hardcore version of your job, or resign with 3 months severance. And employees overwhelmingly picked to resign. And it was something that I think was a miscalculation on, or maybe it's pure strategy on the part of Elon Musk. He is now left with a skeleton crew of Twitter staff, and it is with that in mind that he had to shut down the offices on today and through the weekend, just to really sort out who is in the company and who's out. He's trying to figure out like who actually works here now, who has resigned, how do we get them out of the system?
I was reading Justin earlier on that's Sarah's view, obviously, of why the offices were locked. I was reading an article earlier on which was suggesting that another possibility is he was trying to lock those staff out who had quit from getting information, from accessing more information about the company. Shut them down, keep them out. They can't go in and dig and take stuff away with them.
I mean, obviously that would be a concern with any company with a lot of mass layoffs. I can't speak to why they specifically did it, but this has not been an orderly transition for the people at Twitter.
That's an understatement, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Twitter at risk? Could it go under here?
Well, I don't know if it'll go under, but I know a lot of the people who were very good at keeping it up are not there anymore. And the World Cup starts this weekend, which has traditionally been by far the time Twitter gets the most traffic. So it's going to be a real trial by fire for the people who are left, for sure.
Sarah?
I think that there are a number of vulnerabilities now because of the brain drain, just the people who understand how these systems work. I don't think we're going to wake up one day and Twitter is going to be offline and we'll never be able to log back in. I think it's going to happen in a series of problems that arise, a bug with a certain system, maybe just for, you know, users of Android or users in a certain country, something will break and then they won't know who can fix it, and it will take much longer to fix those issues than normal. And say they try to update the product and the update manages to break something about the product before. I mean, all these things can happen. It's a fragile system.
Yeah.
Beyond that, you have the risk of hacking and data breaches.
Yeah, but come on. You don't get to be the billionaire, the multi-billionaire that Musk is. Is he the richest man in the world now, or is he number two, whatever he is? You don't get to that stage and spend 40-odd billion on something that you're going to let go down the toilet. So clearly he must have a game plan as to how to protect his investment, Sarah.
It's possible that his game plan, I mean, he's already said that he's considering bankruptcy. It's possible that is one option to relieve some of the burden of the debt before turning things around. I think first he is trying to figure out who is loyal and who is willing to work for Twitter, not loyal to Twitter, but loyal to him and his way of working. I think that a number of things today we reported that he asked everyone who works on any sort of software at Twitter to report to the office at 2 p.m. and fly there if you must, with only a few hours notice. So he's really testing loyalty.
Justin, do you think he has a game plan?
I think he spent a good chunk of the summer trying desperately not to buy Twitter and suing to avoid doing it. And I'm not sure if I had a game plan going in that would have been my first step.
And how many people, are there a significant game-changing amount of people canceling Twitter accounts and migrating to the likes of Mastodon, for example?
Well, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
I don't think
Sarah,
we've seen a lot of cancellation because people are actually logging in to watch the train wreck, right? They want to see what happens right now. And the usage is actually quite high of Twitter, including people saying, you know, RIP Twitter is trending. People are saying their goodbyes. But I do think that people are coming up with their alternative plans.
Justin.
I'm quite active on Mastodon, have been for the last couple weeks. I wrote a guide to getting started for Wired. And it's been really amazing seeing how fast the growth is there. Now, it's nowhere on the level of Twitter so far, but people are coming in, they're being welcomed. And Mastodon's really interesting because there's not really a company, there's no ads, there's no tracking, there's monetization. It's a real do-it-your-own kind of place. So that means there's bugs. That means you're going to run into some problems, but the people who set up there really feel like they own it. There's a big collection of UK-specific servers already, including Mastodon.app, Glasgow.social, Mastodon.scot, Toot.wales. So it's a real independent, do-it-yourself kind of thing, and the flood of users there has been incredible, and the top trending topic on Twitter for most of the day by far was Mastodon.
Let me come back, if you don't mind, to Twitter. What I've never understood, Sarah and Justin, just as a lay person, is how something so big, so connected to every country and everybody's lives, how is it losing money?
I mean, influence isn't the same as profitability. It just
isn't.
Why
not?
Twitter has a lot of very prominent users. Journalists and politicians are on it, but in terms of an everyday normal people, it's nowhere near as many people as an Instagram or a Facebook. And that just means that even though every politician in the world will get on this thing and write something that will then dominate the news for the next day, most of the people who hear about it aren't necessarily hearing about it on Twitter. They're hearing about it on maybe shows like this one. They're hearing about it in newspapers. So it's a very influential platform, and a lot of powerful people are on it. And there's a lot of people who aren't powerful who also use it, obviously, but nowhere near the scale of some of these other places.
So,
when you're talking about the financial question, at this moment, the reason that Twitter is under so much pressure is because Elon Musk purchased it for $44 billion, and he has to pay that debt back to the banks, to the investors, to the tune of $1.2 billion per year, at least, with a variable interest rate. So this is somewhat a problem of his own making.
So why would you blame, if you look at this in pure business, why would you blame Elon Musk for trying to radically change a loss-making business into something that turns a profit? Like, he's being ridiculed over the blue tick. He's being ridiculed over trying to, change the fundamental running of that company. For all the people at the top of that company, if it's a loss-making company, why shouldn't they get kicked out?
Well, I think that the reason that he's become so criticized over this is because he has operated with such speed without quite understanding how Twitter works. He's let go half the staff, and then another great portion of staff just left in the last couple days. And so I think that.
But
the,
wouldn't you,
the
if you're if you're the company? But if you, Sarah, had a company that was losing millions a day, would you not get rid of the staff?
Well, I think that the issue here is that it's really a platform that has that great influence that we were talking about. And so it's not as simple as saying we have to work harder to make more money here. It's a people problem. Twitter's been a human problem for a long time in terms of gathering people who understand how to deal with foreign governments and understand how to deal with advertisers and understand how to deal with policy and on and on. And those people exiting the building, including the people who deal with the core infrastructure, I mean, I don't think it's so much of a ridiculing of Musk that's happening, but more a concern for, you know, has this really been a process that is taking into account the great power that this platform can have and all the things that can go wrong.
And Sarah, and the thank other you. Thing nice is, to talk to you. Justin, I've got to go to the news, I'm afraid. Very quickly, I can give you 10 seconds, man.
I mean, if you want to make more revenue, maybe don't alienate all of the major advertising companies.
Fair enough. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sarah. Here comes the Midnight News. Stay with us.
The voice of the UK. This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at midnight. This is Tom Harrigan.